devil doesn't win. Amen. I don't remember if I had the shirt or if I remember seeing the shirt back when novelty t-shirts started really coming on in the church. I'll step back away from that edge just a bit. Something about the devil is defeated because Jesus beat him with a big old stick. I can tell you how the devil feels right now. Praise God. But I am so glad to be able to be here today, folks. I'm not supposed to be here today, just so you know, but I'm here. God is a good God. You know, we can look around and, well, God, I don't have this. I don't have that. Yep. I'm going to tell you, I have absolute, other than a compression fracture in my spine, I don't have one bruise. No internal bleeding. No ruptured discs. Nothing inside other than that crack. So in the end, God is still good. Hallelujah. Well, I only have X amount of time. I don't know how much that time is before my back starts hurting again. Because if you've ever been made to basically kiss your butt, you know how bad your back's going to hurt. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm not taking anything that's potentially addicting, so it don't work quite as well. But just so you know, the morphine didn't even touch it. So, and they gave me 3 or 4 doses of morphine, and I'm like, well, okay. I'm still hurting. So, but praise God. A little bit of pain is nothing. Amen. Phil, would you hand me that? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for a glorious week. Father, that no matter what came at us, no matter what tried to destroy us, Father, I thank you and praise you that you've had your hand of protection upon each and every one of us. The Father, that even my example would be a great example for people who haven't trusted you. Lord, that live in fear of things happening. Now, Lord, I thank you and praise you for this tithe and offering. We present it to you, Lord, as holy. Bless it now, Father, to the giver and to its intended use. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and Super Kids are dismissed. And if you'd just bring me down my Bible, because I'm not going back up. You want to know which chair has been the best so far? Those right there. Not yet. We may spin one around it. Just set it down there. But just so everybody's on the same page, as with anything, stories, people get things mixed up and misconstrued. I can't tell you how many times I told the hospital staff what happened. I am not an idiot. I did not cut a tree down on myself. Okay? I was cutting a tree down, and as it was falling, the vines that grew up it grew over into the other tree and held onto the top and broke a tree behind me. And that tree fell. And I am very aware of how blessed I am that I'm not dead. If I'd have been half a step further back, it would have crushed me. But it's not going to stop us. This could have been a very different service today. But you see, this day, I'll get it straightened up. Talk amongst yourselves. But this day also marks something else. Something that impacted my life almost as much as Jesus Christ. He's the reason I'm here today. And I think because of what this day also represents. It's another reason I'm here today. 30 years ago, I became a Marine. Today. I know that doesn't mean anything to anybody else. But I'm going to tell you. When you have about a 1,000-pound log, Jason, if you can do some math for me. I couldn't figure this out the other day. I need to figure up the cubic foot of a cylinder. 10 inches. I know it's you got to multiply crap by pi and half the... I'm sitting there and I'm like, how did they come up with that? But I do know the ash weighs 37.4 pounds per cubic foot. So the log was about 1,000 pounds because it was a 30-foot log. And as I hit the ground, I remember it hitting me. I mean, I've had limbs smack me before. Anybody that's ever cut wood knows anything about that. You're just not used to something that's pushing you around. And as it began pushing me and I hit the ground, I instantly felt the sharp pain in my back, and I started crying out to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I'm hurt. Jesus, I'm hurt. And everything inside me said, get up. It said, get up. I don't know why I felt I had to get up. Because I know the first time I tried to, I couldn't move my legs. I got up. I'm on all fours, and Justin's up there. He was pulling the tree down, and he saw it happen. And anyhow, he's over doing that, and I'm just like, oh, man, I hurt my back big time. I really hurt it. And I get up, and lo and behold, the best seat in the house was the log that just hit me. So I sat down on that log, and as I'm sitting there, he's trying to talk to Mom, but he can't hear because the chainsaw's still running. And I'm trying to tell him through the pain, not how to turn it off. He's trying to take the spark plug cover off. It looks like a switch, I guess. Anyhow, we got it shut off, and I could hear her say, I'm on my way. And I hear her come running across the field, and they were trying to figure out what to do, and I'm like, just don't touch me right now. So I called my neighbor, to which I've been informed that I need to give a little more information sometimes, but they'll have to forgive me at that particular time. But I told him, I said, a tree just fell on me. And I could still hear him up there at his house. So he came running down on his side by side, and he came down and he helped me up out of it was on a kind of a hill. And I just, oh, wow, I'm hurt, but I'm up. I drove us side by side out of the way. He finished putting the other tree down. And I walked back to the house. She ran me a hot, nice tub of water. And as I sat there, I was like, okay, my back is not relaxing. Something more is wrong. And so we ended up in the emergency room. And then the next day, I got to go home. And I tell you all that just to remind you that God is in charge, and it's not faith. If It's not faithless if you get knocked down. See, like Paul said, we're knocked down, but we're not destroyed. I am very aware of how bad this could have been. Are you going to quit cutting wood? No. Do you know how many motorcycles I've gone over the handlebars on? Still got my endorsement. How many stupid times I've cut myself with a pocket knife or a razor knife? No. I will be more wary the next time, I promise you that. But I want to tell you right now that God is trying to help us. Because here's what I got to tell you. As I was standing there looking at those trees before I cut them down, the still small voice said, cut that one down first. The one that fell on me. I didn't want to because it would have hit the limbs and would have bounced out in this field and I had to clean up the field. So I wanted to kind of keep all my mess in one area. I was getting them down where I wanted them. And so I went against it. I'm here to tell you, when you hear that still small voice that says, cut the other tree down first, do it. All right. So, we've been talking about 1 Corinthians 13. We did 1 through 3 last couple weeks. Now we're going to jump up to 8. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's go to verse 8. It says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, ladies and gentlemen, so many times people have tried to take... Give me my notes. They're a lot lighter. That will be the hardest part of this whole thing for me. Is at least for 8 weeks, I can't do squat. And the doctor told me the other day, he said 12. I will have a granddaughter here before I can do anything. That is hard for me. I have a couple model kits. I've told her, I said, I'm going to set up my little table and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to put models together. At least I can do that. But when we're looking in the Word, this particular chapter is called the love chapter for a reason. But people always turn it into being primarily about the gifts and their importance. But the problem is, it's not about, I mean, it does mention gifts, and that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes. But it's about the love. The Bible says love never fails. That means God's love, agape. Yeah, that happens. Here, I'll hold on to it tighter. God's love will never fall short. It will never fall away, be in vain, or without effect. God's love in your life will never, ever fail you. It will never fall short of the what he has. Yes, the Holy Spirit said, maybe you ought to cut that tree down first. But God's love kept that tree from coming back down and crushing me completely. Because that tree, I told you, I sat on it. That tree was about this far off of the ground when it hit. Now, it did come back down and smack me while it was settling, but I was able to get up and sit on it, which means that it was about right there. I'd been underneath of it. Had that ground been completely flat, that tree would have been laying on top of me. So God's love never failed. Okay, so I got a cracked vertebrae. Well, fractured, not cracked. But he kept it from being so much worse. However, prophecies, tongues, knowledge, all gifts. Gifts are not perfect. They're not like God's love. Spiritual gifts can be manipulated for personal gain and control. In Acts chapter 8, 18 through 19, we read of Simon. He was called Simon the Sorcerer because he had been a sorcerer, but he got saved. He got born again, okay? And he saw the disciples laying hands on people and instilling the Holy Spirit in them and them speaking in tongues. And Simon instantly thought, I can do this for money. Because after all, he had turned his back, hopefully, on sorcery. So in that process, he starts thinking, I can use this for gain. He was rebuked by the disciples. The unfortunate thing is what Simon was trying to do back then is still happening today. There are people taking the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then turning them into a sideshow so that they can get gain. Any church that charges you to come in, any preacher that charges you to come into the service, don't go. I have full respect for Joyce Myers. She has to rent those buildings out before she gets there. They're not cheap. But they don't charge you. If you are preaching the word, how dare you charge people for the word? How dare you charge people to give them the word that God just gave you for them? If God has a real prophetic utterance for somebody, it's free. The Bible says the gifts of God are free. You to receive. Freely you have received, freely give. And if we do not freely give, and we're trying to manipulate money, I can never forget you. We kind of got shanghaied one time out at a backyard barbecue. I think Bob and Karen were there too. And I thought, oh, okay, you know, great. That couple in the church just wanted to have a little barbecue. Well, when it was all said and done, we found out, well, who's this lone guy over here by himself? Oh, he's a prophet. He wanted an offering too. If you go around seeking the money, you're not a prophet. You're not a minister. I have no problem with a minister making a good living. No problem whatsoever. But I need people to understand, if you're going to start in a ministry, you better be ready to start at zero. It was quite a few years before I received anything. Agape. Godly love cannot be earned, it cannot be bought, and it cannot be misused or manipulated. Because God's love requires something from us. See, if we're to give God's love, we can't require anything back from somebody else. That's conditional love. That's not agape. Agape is unconditional. I can't say I love Brenda and say, well, you know, you need to give me $100, Brenda. That's not love. Brenda, God told me he had something for you. But you see, people today, and they've been doing it for years, but it's just really become up since the gifts of the Holy Spirit have been made more manifest, that people will manipulate them. We turn the works of God into sideshows, carnivals. Paul said, let everything be done decently and in order. Dance, but don't have a mosh pit. If you ever been in one, they're nuts. It is not God's love if you require something from somebody else. You don't love them. You're manipulating them. It's called control, manipulation. Prophecy, tongues, knowledge, for them to be properly functioning, God's love must be the operating force. You can never operate in a gift of prophecy using your flesh. I know of a woman who, like clockwork, she'd bring forth words into church. And in one particular day, I know this for a fact because I was there. I saw it. I witnessed it. I heard everything with my own ears. I heard the pastor, and I knew of this information, and I was wholeheartedly in agreement with him. We were selling the building, and he told another couple before church service, and she was standing about 10 feet away from him. And he made the announcement. I believe it was before. No. He hadn't made the announcement yet. But like clockwork, here come the tongues. Here come her interpretation of it. Do not sell the building. Ladies and gentlemen, that building was always in disobedience to the work that God called. Because God never called the work to go to Edison. He called it to Mount Gilead. He told the original pastor, go to Mount Gilead. He went to Edison both times. The first time he opened a church, he was just barely in Mount Gilead. But then he went to Edison. Edison is not Mount Gilead, right? Ask anybody in Edison. They're very proud of that fact. But that woman took the gift. I knew her to be a prophet liar, and I never put any stock in her. I knew her since I was 10. And she took something and manipulated it to try to control, because she didn't want that church going anywhere. Her son-in-law didn't want that church going anywhere. Her daughter didn't want that church closing right there. We were just selling the building. That's all we were doing. The building was a nightmare. It was not laid out for a church. They probably should have had their heads examined for trying to do it to begin with, because they never did anything right, so they always had to redo it. She died a couple years later. But from that point on, she was not well. Don't think you're going to manipulate the gifts of God and get away with it. God has a word for you, he will see that the man or woman of God gets it to you. People that chase prophets, knock it off. If that prophet is a real prophet, you're not going to enjoy what they really have to say. Because prophets were generally sent to bring you back in line. They were never, oh, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you will be a millionaire in 6 months. Yeah, that's prophelying. It will not cost you. If you choose to sow a seed, that is your prerogative. It will not cost you for the word of God. I personally have been in the services and didn't understand what was going on, but I do remember them. And now that I know them, I see what a charlatan the man was. If you can, so, and this was back in the early 80s, so, you know, $50 was a lot of money, wasn't it? Me, I had no clue what the value of money was, but $50 was a lot of money. You could have bought a used car for $50. A running used car. If you wanted a decent one, spend $200. But he would up in the price, if you can sow a seed of $50 or less, you come over here in this line. If you can sow a seed of $100 to $1,000, you come over here. Why? He laid hands on them all the same. One, ladies and gentlemen, people love recognition of gifts they're getting or they're giving. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? God did not tell the church to sell everything they have and live in communism. That's what that was, if you hadn't figured it out. Marx had nothing to do with it. The church did it. Communism doesn't work, does it? Same, the people that work their butts off will be the same ones working their butts off. The people that don't want to do anything, they ain't going to do anything. Oh, we're supposed to love everybody. That's why Paul said, you don't work, you don't eat. Sometimes maybe somebody will see you out and about. Hey, brother, God told me something to tell you. I don't know why, but he just said to say this. And if it's from God, you'll know why. That is why we have a stipulation around here. If you've got a word for somebody, you feel that God is telling you something to give to somebody, you come to me first. And then we go and talk to that person. And if they don't receive it, then it's not happening. And if it's something that I get a check in my spirit, you ain't going. Well, that sounds like you're kind of controlling it. Yes, I am. I'll not have this church split and destroyed over abuses of gifts. That's how I knew that other person was a prophelier. Part of her clan, they used to sit around, they'd get together for their Bible studies, and then they'd end up prophesying over each other, three or four of them. It's like, yeah, that's real good. Sitting here, whatever comes into your head, you might as well be practicing yoga. Let your mind go blank, and then whatever comes in, you say it out. Sometimes in church services, God's got a word for people. Tongues are a prayer language in which the Holy Spirit prays through us to enact God's will in a situation. The reason being is because we don't know the details of the situation. Sometimes you can't have all the information right now. See, here's the thing. The news media, they want to call the president a liar all the time. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't matter what president. But this one has just been amplified. Let me tell you something. He's got access to information you will never know. Ever. He knows what's going on right now in places in this world that people in their own countries don't know are happening. If we're told to pray for the president, you start praying for the president. If you don't know how to pray, the Bible tells us, let the Holy Spirit pray through you, for he knows. The Holy Spirit speaks gibberish to our hearing, but to God, he speaks the revealed truth of God's will in the situation. Why? Because the Holy Spirit only prays what he hears from the Father. And what he hears from the Father is what he prays back. And it has to come out into existence. That's why I tell you, folks, you can pray silent prayers. That's fine. But if you want powerful prayers, pray them out loud. God wasn't up in heaven thinking, I'm going to create earth. And he thought, let there be light. And there was light. No. He said it. Your words, ladies and gentlemen, are powerful. The devil wants to silence you. He doesn't want you speaking out the truth. And until you know how to speak the truth in any given situation where you might be a bit judgmental, you might have a personal vendetta, the Holy Spirit prays and fills in the blanks where you are falling short. And because of that, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when we pray what we want to happen, revenge, not justice. There are some things God started to show me. That's why we're waiting until we're done with these, and then we're going to go back to love is patient, love is kind. We're going to go back to that. Love does not rejoice in evil. Love does this, love doesn't do that. We're going to go back into that, because even though I just basically taught you a lot of that the other day or a couple weeks ago, God has given me a little more revelation on some of this stuff. And if the church will get it, ladies and gentlemen, the church will be the most powerful force in this world. We already should be. We should pray for people. Somebody did you wrong, the Bible tells us to go get a stick and beat them, right? No, that's just what we want to do. The Bible tells us to pray for those who spitefully use you. That means they know exactly what they're doing. It wasn't an accident they messed you over. They did it on purpose. Knowledge, gifts of knowledge. That's the word gnosis. Does it sound familiar to anybody? There's some words floating around today in our society. One of them is agnostic. Gnostic, agnostic. Agnostic means nothing about God can be known, including existence. It can't be known. Ignostic is the idea that the question of existence of God is meaningless because the word God has no coherent and unambiguous definition. And I'm trying to remember which one, whether it's agnostic or ignostic, was actually that theory, that belief is all out of the 60s, and it was by a Jew. By the way, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Everybody's more worried about this guy that's going to show up on the scene and he's going to cause stuff to happen. First off, you're looking at the wrong thing. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. And by the way, it's the false prophet that does all the killing. Please, people, read your Bible. Quit going with what has been taught for 200 years without the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's just flat out reading. But the gift of knowledge, God shows you or someone information about a situation for you to pray about. God may show you something. God may show me something for Tricia back there, but it's not necessarily anything God says to go tell her. I had somebody told me Monday morning that at 4 o'clock a tree was going to fall on me. I would have rebuked him and said, "You're nuts." Several years ago, a man brought forth, he said, "Pastor, I've had dreams and visions." And he said, "My dreams and visions are all literal." Which, no, they're not, but you got to be mature enough to interpret them properly. And anyhow, he said, "I dreamt that I saw your motorcycle and it was in pieces. And I saw your family standing around weeping." Oh, there's not one person on this planet who gets on a motorcycle that thought doesn't kind of cross your mind. Because there's some moronic drivers. Anybody in a semi will tell you that. Cutting an 18-wheeler off and expect him to stop on a dime. But motorcyclists, you know, that thought goes through your mind about every time you fire it up. You don't concentrate on it. But he said, "You know, I think God's telling me you're going to get killed on your bike." See, what he didn't know was God was already dealing with me about some things. I was changing inside. There was a part of me, my family, I've got lots of family that are part of bike groups. Not good ones. They don't ride with the sons of God. Okay? And they that spirit was trying to come over me. I knew what it was, and I knew what God was telling me. It wasn't that I was going to get killed riding a motorcycle. It was I was allowing an attitude on that bike to start taking over, and I was changing personally. And I needed to get rid of the bike. So I did. Sometimes you hear it. Maybe God will speak something into you. Sometimes it's a vision. Sometimes it's a dream. If God does tell you to share something with someone, don't say, "Thus saith the Lord." Say, "I had a dream." Take this for what it's worth. Ask God if it means anything to you, to let him show you what it means. Because here's the thing. They have knowledge. You don't. You aren't getting the whole story. In my opinion, not usually something you try to explain to others. You don't have to go and explain to other people. If you have to explain to them, you weren't supposed to tell them. First thing, new believers. If somebody's a brand new believer, you don't go and give them a word of knowledge and read all their mail and then tell them that God's got good stuff or what you've seen them through. Unless there's a definitive word of prophecy for that person. The first time I ever remember being told that I would actually help people, I had just started my descent, and the man that was up there preaching started out calling for, he said, "I see this person." He said, your armor is dented. It is beaten. It is just utterly a mess. You've taken a beating. And he kept going on about it. He kept emphasizing that. And I kept resisting. I knew it was for me. The second he opened his mouth, he said, "There." And instantly my stomach went, "Broop." What's going on here? I knew what it was. He was about to read my mail. He started bringing that forth, that word of knowledge. What he was doing was the Holy Spirit was showing me that God saw what happened. Because I felt injustice had been done and people got away with things. And we're still getting away with things. But I didn't harbor anything against him. I didn't think. And then the Lord eventually showed me I was. But then, after he did all that, And he was about to give up on me, because I mean everybody, to and include my grandmother, went up. And then finally he said, "This is a young man." Now, I was still 19. I'd come home, was it for Thanksgiving, maybe? Maybe, I don't remember. So, and I was standing right there, like, just off the edge. Well, probably about like where Josh is. And he's looking back, and he says, "I'm not going to wait any longer." He said, "If you don't come forward." And as soon as I took a step, he saw me out the corner of his eye, and he said, "That's him." And he prophesied. He laid his hands on me, and he said that I would help people kick down doors in their lives. I love the violence. Sometimes you got to get a little violent, don't you? God summed all that up, that word of knowledge that he was giving that man to, let me step out. Because the Holy Spirit knew I was skeptical. The Holy Spirit knew that I was not going to be real keen to receiving. And so the Holy Spirit said, "Here, let me show you something about him, and you let people know." So new believers. Sometimes new believers aren't mature enough for you to go tell them this stuff. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Is this something, God, that you're showing me about Sherry, who's been saved for a week? Or do you want me to pray for her in this area? I can't tell you how many times I pray for people. And they come in and they say, you know, Pastor, this was going on. I said, I know. I saw it. Don't think I don't see it. Just because I may not be in your life every day does not mean I don't see what God is doing. God wakes me up in the middle of the night to pray for people. Heathen. Well, you're just freaking a heathen out. They have no clue what you're doing. What do you mean I'm like a ship tossed to and fro? What's to and fro? You can't do that and expect people to be on board. You freak them out. You run them away. Pray for them. Mature. Most times, mature people can handle it. If self-righteous, they won't believe it. I told you about the woman, two women. One was given a word of rebuke. The other one was given a word of edification. The woman who got the rebuke still has not repented. A lot of times it is something that the person knew. I knew I was beat up. I knew how I felt. God just needed me to know that he knew. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a good thing he did. See, all we ever think is God just looking down the end of the road. Oh, but I know how you're going to be, child. God knows how you are right now. God knows why you think the thoughts you think. He knows why you got that twisted sense of humor. He knows who you are right now. He knows every scar inside that you've got. He knows everything that anybody has ever said to you to hurt you. And he knows the scars that you received because of things that they didn't mean to hurt you. But God wants you to quit praying for Mercedes and intercede for them. That's the problem with a lot of the body of Christ. They want prosperity, but they don't want to pray for their brothers and sisters. Show me where that's agape. Show me where the Bible tells you to pray for your prosperity. And I will show you where the Bible says that if you do the will of God, you seek what God has for you, prosperity will chase you down. It has no choice. You don't have to go to 10 prophetic meetings. You don't have to go to this prosperity conference. Knock it off. If you're going to sow money into the building fund, sow money into the community. There's kids running around in this county that can't afford a clean pair of underwear. I know in our society today, we think, how can that be possible? It's very possible. That child can't help the delinquents they have as parents who would rather spend their money on tattoos and smokes and booze and cable and video games as opposed to go buy their kids some clean socks or some underwear that don't have holes in them. That's why we choose to give to those things. And when we give money now, when we sow money, it's for certain things. It's not just, oh, well, hey, we just want to give money. I want you to do something with that money. I want you to push forward. I want that money to do something in the kingdom of God other than bankroll your next big purchase. I heard the other day, and I rejoiced. I heard Benny Hinn turned away from the gospel of prosperity. He said, I was wrong. I was wrong to preach prosperity over Jesus Christ. That's been my whole problem the whole time. There's certain preachers, I've been in there, every meeting I've ever been in is about getting rich. It's about prosperity. I've never been in a meeting. And I've seen some pictures, and I've heard claims that there's people being laid, people being prayed for and such. But yet, every meeting I've been in, that person didn't have that. That wasn't their message. Our message should always be about lifting up Jesus Christ. Prosperity is not Jesus Christ. Let's get that straight. Jesus don't care if you're rich or poor. By the way, what did he say? The poor you will always have. Always. Don't matter if you're in a church or not. A lot of times being poor is a matter of the way you keep looking at things. Well, I got money. I want to look good. I want to look the part. I got a few bucks I can spend. Let me go buy this real fancy car that I can't afford. But I look the part. I look like I'm doing good. I made it a full service. Actually, a hair over. We're going to stop right there. Because a lot of this stuff is being done outside of love. It's not being done through love. It's being done outside the realms of love. It's being done for personal gain. It's being done for personal notoriety. For the longest time, I would not have the word pastor put in front of my name. I've now come to realize that that's not a bad thing that I have it there. I don't want people to know who I am. I really don't. I want to be able to minister to somebody unadulterated. I want to be able to talk to somebody without them realizing that I'm a minister. Because the second I do, they flip a switch and suddenly they become religious. I mean, they just told me how many women they slept with last weekend and the party they went to. And then, oh, by the way, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. Oh, praise Jesus. I love, man, she was there. This was a real life experience. I just thought, I did hear that whole conversation right? It's amazing. Or the second they find out you're a preacher, they come with your hand open. I don't come with my hand open to you. Well, you know, my kids. Well, let's see. You need to get rid of all your streaming services, get rid of all this stuff, and go buy diapers and food for your baby. This is what adults do. You can play games. God don't have a problem with that. But there's a problem when you spend money on that stuff before you spend money on the important things. Your video game habit, your smoking habit, whatever habit you got, you're blinging out your car every week. If you are going to lose your place, they're going to shut off your electric. It's time you grow up, Buttercup. So let's remember that when we're ministering, though, by the way, I just said all that, and I did it in love. I didn't do it in hate to hurt people. I don't want to see young people going up to hell in a handbasket. That's why I say what I say. I don't ever say anything to intentionally hurt. I've had people, well, you made me mad, Pastor. Then I did my job. My job is not to be your friend all the time. My job is to bring you. You know the shepherd's got a stick, right? Do you know what the stick is actually for? It's not because he just broke his back and needs to lean on it. Sometimes. But when it come down to it, that very same stick that shepherd just whacked that sheep with is the same stick that he took and broke over that wolf's head. It's the same instrument. It's love. That's why discipline, when you spank your children, it should always be out of love, not anger. If you're angry, walk away until you cool down. If you don't cool down for a week, then you've got a serious stinking problem. I'm sorry, you should be able to cool down within an hour.
Oh, but they just made me so angry.
Boo-hoo.
They embarrassed me.
Not as much as you've embarrassed yourself in public. So like I said, next week we'll pick up. We're going to get into some more. That's why I wanted to stop right there. I was at a good stopping point to so I don't get too far ahead of myself. So I honestly didn't think I was going to make it this far. My back's been hurting for the last half hour. So, but praise God. It's hurt worse than this. And that was just from putting shingles on a roof. That's why I don't do roofs no more. All right, let's stand. Doesn't the hallway feel so much nicer now? So nice in there now. Lord, it's lovey-dovey. Praise God. We were hoping to be able to have that done before the anniversary, and then we were trying to schedule. We were going to do the anniversary today, and we were just like, oh, Lord, trying to get everything around. I said, you know what, do it on the day we're supposed to. And then they called us and said, we can put the carpet in on Thursday. Well, that's 4 days after the anniversary. But praise God, it's in. It looks great. And feels clean in there now. I know the cleaning staff cleaned it. They'd mop it. There's just no way to keep concrete clean unless you want to polish it and do all that. And I'm not doing it. I ain't doing anything for 3 months. Yeah. I can't even go deer hunting right now. I may have to come get the blind, though. I can't get in a tree stand, but I can flat out sit on a bucket for a while in a couple weeks. No, I can't shoot my gun and crossbow. I've thought about that. My neighbor said something about that, putting a chair up in the back of my barn because you can see through the back of my barn. And he said, just go up there and sit. And I said, do you seriously think I can handle getting the compression? He's like, well, you got pistols. You got a point. But anyhow, praise God, I'm not going to boo-hoo about it. It is what it is. You get up, you take it in stride, and you move on. Praise God, I got good brothers and sisters. God's blessed me some good neighbors. So, you know, I told Angela, I said, you know, there's not one thing in this house I have to do right now because I busted my butt getting it done before. So now I get to sit. Can I say something? Yes, ma'am. Actually, if anybody wants to help, ask Mr. Tim. He's already, okay. He's on that. Yeah. So let me tell you.
He actually made some supper the other night.
Yeah. And then I got yelled at for not cleaning the kitchen.
No.
But let me tell you how this week went for us. Okay, so Monday, break my back, get home Tuesday. Was it Carter was sick? Monday night, Carter was sick, and then Tony got sick. Anyhow, to put it this way, everybody in this family but me has been worshiping at the porcelain throne. And I thank God it wasn't me because my ribs hurt so bad now anyhow. Oh, no, but praise God. I'm like, I'm laying there. I'm like, Jesus, I don't want to barf. I don't want to barf. I don't want to barf. I can't laugh. I can't breathe right now. And if I barf, please just drop the toilet on me. Put me out of my misery. Because it hurts so bad. But the fact that I have no broken ribs, no cracks, that's all God, folks. All right. So... But anyhow, God is a good God. And if we do everything in love and through God's love, it works out. God blesses us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Father, that you're merciful, that you're loving, and you're kind. Father, we pray that every gift we do, everything we do within ourselves for other people will be done and motivated out of love, not out of attention. Lord, so I thank you and praise you. I thank you for my family here, Lord, who are stepping in and they're going to fill in where I can't anymore. So, Father, I thank you that you're moving in their lives. I bless them, Father, for what they're going to be doing. And now, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you it changes our lives, that it moves our lives, Father, that if we will be obedient to it. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're blessing these people. Lord, as they go about their weeks, Lord God, that you move in their lives, Father. I thank you, Father, that you're opening opportunities just to share your love with people, Father, whether it's an act of kindness or, Father, whether it's just saying something to somebody, Lord. I pray that you lead them and guide them in all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.